Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torture lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Disrespect the Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. How the hell are you doing about that, brother?
Man, I'm frizzled, frazzled, fried, everything. Damn it, man. I just flung my damn useless, you know what, parental guidance suggested. I just flung my fucking laptop across the truck. We're a piece of shit. But hey, you know what? I'm up and running. I'm on the switchboard now. I got my tablet fired up and finally figured out how to access the damn switchboard over this tablet. Cause you know, I speak iPhone and I speak Microsoft. So when it comes to like Android, yeah, I don't know Android. So anyway, after, of course I literally got the switchboard up. I mean, I think the song was already starting to play when I finally got into the switchboard. So nothing like the last get yourself good and worked up there. But damn it, man, how are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm good, man. When you called in, you were frazzled and There's an F word here and an F word there and an F word everywhere.
Here an F word, there an F word.
But
everywhere a fucking
Yeah, because you know what? The last two, three times we tried to get on the air, it's just been nothing but, you know, this or that. And finally we made it work. We got on. We're here. The past is the past. The future is right now. And we're going to move on with the show and to hell with the problems. I want to make an announcement first. Tonight, later on, she isn't able to join us right away tonight. But here in about 15, 20 minutes, we will be having a new person join our team here at the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And her name is Kim. And she will be what I would say a producer for our show. I have yet to have some more conversations with her, but she's going to come on and run the switchboard a little bit later. And so I'll just say welcome to the show, Kim, and we're happy to have you on and to take a little pressure off of me and Chris, because me and Chris are busy men out on the road driving our trucks around the countryside, and we're not always able to get on the switchboard when we need to be. And to have somebody on the switchboard running things and then texting us, you know, what's happening, it's going to work out phenomenal. I think it's going to be a good thing. So yes, let's welcome Kim. And from there, we're just going to move right into it. I'm not going to get into the news yet. I want to talk about me and Chris met up. What night was that, Chris? Tuesday night?
That was last
Wednesday night.
That was 24 hours ago.
It wasn't.
Right?
No, it wasn't last night. No, last night I stayed in Chicago on the shoulder of a road with trucks going by me at 70 miles an hour.
Oh, that's right. Shit. Damn it, man. I'm having so much fun. Time's just flying. That was 2 nights ago.
Yeah. So Tuesday night, me and Chris met up at a pub, bar, and grill in by Peru, Indiana, or Illinois, I'm sorry.
Illinois.
And me and Chris haven't seen each other for over 4 years. And it was good to see Chris. We do a radio show. We talk on the phone all the time, but haven't seen him for 4 years. So, yeah, we got to hang out for a couple hours, have a few beers, and bullshit, and that was good. That was fun. And it's always nice to when things work out where you guys, you know, when two people can get together and that haven't seen each other for a long time, especially with me and Chris being involved with everything that we're in. We had a good chat, and we made a few videos, and that's good. But anyway, let's move right into it. You know, in the trucking industry, in the trucking news, I should say, there's 52 migrants that are dead that were found in the back of a tractor trailer, that were illegally brought over here. And when the police arrived on scene, they found most of the deceased inside the trailer that had already died from heat exhaustion and heat-related illness. They found numerous other people scattered in the brush around the trailer alongside the road, either almost deceased or were deceased. They have brought some to the hospital, and two more had passed away. And while they were conducting their search, they found the driver of that vehicle. He was hiding in some brush. They did place him under arrest, and they did a search warrant on his phone and found three more people that were involved. And so there's a total of four now that have been arrested, and two of them face life in prison or the death penalty. When you're directly responsible for the loss of 52 death lives because of a decision you made to do something illegal, I definitely think the death warrant is in order here. There's no excuse for that. They don't tell me you didn't know that was going to happen. It's Texas. San Antonio is where they found them, Southwest San Antonio. So my assumption is they've been in back of that tractor trailer for at least 5 hours, if not more. And like Chris was telling me earlier, you know, on the inside of a car, it gets to be 170 degrees. I couldn't even imagine with 52 or however many people were in the back of that trailer, how hot it got in the back of there and the excruciating death that they went through, just to try to get their freedom. But there's other ways to get your freedom without risking your life to that extent. And I send my deepest condolences to the families of those victims. And, you know, what we we have to have the discussion. America has to have that discussion. You know, the Democratic Party right now has the border wide open. They're trying their best to put a stop to it, but the Biden administration isn't sending them any resources to stop the inflow and the influx of the migrants coming across the border. And the numbers that are coming across are astronomical. They're the most in history of this country. And the Border Patrol said, one of the Border Patrol agents, I think he was a sergeant with the Border Patrol, said, this is, without a shadow of a doubt, on the hands of the Biden administration for their open-door policy. And I happen to agree with them. I think, you know, between Trump's policy and Biden's policies, Trump had a policy of, you know, America first, close the borders. If you want to get in, you go through the process. And people complained, well, the process takes too long. Listen, then we need to make an administrative, or not an administrative change, but a policy change as far as what that policy should be to go through that process to get in a little bit faster. That doesn't mean let's open the borders and then try to fix the problem. You have to close the borders and then fix the problem. Every candidate in the last two decades has, they've ran for president or Senate or Congress with the promise that they're running to for immigration reform. Well, Biden said the same thing, and he didn't reform immigration. He just got rid of immigration altogether and said, hell with it. We'll just open the borders and come on over. And then we'll give you money and we'll give you plane tickets to big U.S. cities across the country and don't worry about it. We'll figure it out after you get here. Well, that doesn't work for an economy. That doesn't work for a country. And as a result of that, there's 52 more lives lost. And those 52 are just a drop in a bucket compared to all the ones that they find out in the desert that were dehydrated and just they died in the desert. But, yeah, so that's a big story this week, is, you know, with the migrants. What's your take on all this, Chris?
Oh, man. Horrible, horrible way to die. Just horrible. You know, I think that the big problem, I mean, there's always going to be people trying to come in here. And I, of course, understand that. I understand their struggle and why. I don't like the fact that they've basically sent this, you know, they've turned on the beacon and set up this whole chain of events for these people to rush in large groups to be smuggled across. And I don't know what the answer is. I'll be honest. You know, you've got, I mean, a part of why these people were concealed the way they were in a trailer is, of course, because of heavy-handed enforcement on that type of thing. But on the flip side of that, okay, well, what do you do then? Do you go soft hands? We already know all the things that have been going on with children being raped and everything else by some of these smugglers bringing them across. So I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. You know, it's a complex issue. There, it, in my mind, is no easy fix, but, you know, you can't just put that beacon on telling people, encouraging people to come in these large numbers when you don't have some sort of plan to facilitate that massive flow of people. So it's just a good first grade government class clusterfuck, to put it mildly.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. It is a clusterfuck. You know, they already have laws in place that say if you have a CDL, you're a CDL holder, and you get caught, I believe you lose your CDL for life, and you go to prison for 20 years just getting caught smuggling. Now, when you got 52 of them that died, man, I guarantee you probably lost your CDL for three lifetimes on that one. But and all joking aside, because there is really nothing to joke about, it's sad. People's like, well, they shouldn't have crossed. You know what? You're right. They shouldn't have, but they did. And they were helped by somebody that knew what they were doing was wrong. And we've all seen stories of people, you know, there was a story a while back in Denison, Iowa, on the train tracks, where they had a foul odor coming from one of the boxcar. Well, it wasn't a boxcar. It was one that hauled, like, grain and stuff. But so they opened up the hatch in the bottom of it, and bodies fell out. And here they found, I think, 13 illegal migrants in there. That was, I don't know, I want to say a decade or so ago. I mean, this isn't a new problem. And it's certainly not all Joe Biden's fault right now. But he is in charge right now, and his administration is in charge right now, and they're doing nothing to stop this or slow it down, at least. Things are going to happen. People are going to try to get here, and they're going to use any way they possibly can to do that. But when you have policies like the Biden administration does right now, only more people are going to be hurt because of this. And that's the cold, hard facts. So, again, we send them our deepest condolences, and, you know, let's hope the Biden administration will at least take some steps now to try to prevent another one of these heinous acts and worse people die. You know, everybody deserves freedom, but I don't want to see anybody die to get their freedom, even though we have a whole country full of war veterans that have given the ultimate sacrifice for freedom. So, yeah, that's a tough one, Chris. It truly is. But, you know, if you guys have anything you want to add to that conversation, if you're listening on your on the internet right now and you want to add your opinion, you're welcome to come on live on air and share your opinion. The phone number to call in, get your pen and paper handy, is 516-387-1733. And once you get through on the phone lines, just press that number 1. That way it shows us that you want to come on air and share your opinion and your thoughts. And throughout the show, whatever we're talking about, if you want to jump back to a subject that we talked about, just call in 516-387-1733. And make sure you press the number 1, otherwise we ain't going to know that you want to talk. And when Kim, our new producer, gets on, she's going to go through. I told her about how we can screen callers. And as the show becomes more popular, I think that's probably going to be a necessity. Just to make sure that we're not getting people on here that just, you know, want to get on the air to hear themselves talk and be douches. We don't need that. So in order to keep the show flowing, though, let's talk about the J6 hearings. so they moved up the hearings. They said because of security issues, correct? And in the meantime, while they moved up those hearings, the Sergeant of Arms, this gets me. The Senate Sergeant at Arms, Michael Stenger, who was in charge of the Capitol security on January 6th and who blamed professional agitators, dies suddenly hours before the hearing. I think it was yesterday the hearing was, or it could have been the day before. Either way, he died right before the Senate hearings. He was going to testify and demand that there was an investigation into the professional agitators that were there on January 6th. And all of us know that, those of us that have dug into this a little bit deep, we all have seen video of the professional agitators. Like I said earlier in the week, American patriots don't wear face masks. We don't have nothing to hide or cover our faces for because we don't do anything illegal. Those professional agitators were led into that Capitol. And I don't know where the Sergeant of Arms, who is now deceased, fits in with that, but I did watch videos where the Capitol Police stood off to the side on each side, and the people walked in. And I remember one Capitol policeman say, "You probably shouldn't be in here." That's all he said to him. He didn't grab him. He didn't try to – he just said, "You probably shouldn't be in here." Well, you just open the doors. And I think they're relatively heavy doors that are electronically locked or I can't remember all of it, but there's way too many things that don't seem right. Nancy Pelosi turned down National Guard support 3 different times. The star witness that they brought in the other day, which this is a kangaroo court. There's no question about it. It's all propaganda. They're doing everything they can. Their impeachment hearings didn't work on Trump. They don't want the guy in office because he screws up what they're trying to do, and that's screw over this country and the American people. And it's not just the Democrats. It's on both sides. But as you notice, there are certain Republicans that cannot stand Donald Trump. And you think, well, that's because Donald Trump's an evil person. No, it's because he was going against everything that they're trying to do. He truly was American first. And people, they watch that mainstream media, and it's all it is propaganda and defamation. It's horrible to watch. But so they brought in a star witness, this 25-year-old, whatever the hell she was. And she testified that Trump got angry and he assaulted a Secret Service that was driving, they call it the Beast, which is the presidential limo, and that he reached and grabbed the steering wheel. She said he lunged and grabbed the steering wheel to turn it back toward the Capitol. I mean, first of all, if you just sit and just think about what I just told you and imagine that scenario, you're in a limousine and you don't just lunge and grab a steering wheel in a limousine. First of all, in that presidential limo, there's a divider up between the drivers and what's in the back. Donald Trump couldn't have just jumped through that divider and done that, number one. Number two, it's nearly impossible to do that. Number three, the reports are that Donald Trump was actually in a Suburban that day, not in the Beast, the limo. And the Suburbans have the same kind of security in it, by the way. And lastly, it comes out that the Secret Service that this star witness said, gave her testimony about, they said that she's lying and that they will testify under oath and to testify that she is lying. So, what do you think about that, Chris?
Well, I definitely don't buy the whole lunging over and grabbing the steering wheel. It's not like they're driving him around in a regular old Suburban like you would pick up at your local Chevy dealership. These are very, very expensive vehicles, complete with, they have armor plating in certain areas, armor plating guarding things like, gas tanks, fuel lines, anything that could be explosive. All the windows in there are bulletproof. I can't say with certainty what the interior design of their Suburbans are, but I can say I'm pretty sure that includes some sort of divider, not just to keep the president in an environment where he can talk without the Secret Service agents hearing his conversations that he's having, but I'm pretty sure also as an additional barrier against any projectiles that might be successful in getting through the windshield from getting into the actual cabin portion that houses the president. They really use some extreme security measures, and those vehicles are no joke. So don't even think about going down the road in your Chevy Suburban and someone just being able to lunge over the seat and grab the wheel, because that is not how those things are set up. And I'm not buying that. I find it funny that we're just now hearing about that. I mean, that wouldn't have come out before now. Surely this person, this aide, mentioned something about this to someone previously. You're telling me Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all those minions, they just sat on this information and didn't run to the press as soon as they found out about it to make Trump look, worse than they've already made him look. I don't buy it. I don't say that because I'm a Trump supporting Trump part or whatever whatever adjective the left wants to use. I just say that as someone who has a grasp of how the political world and the media world and the physical security world with the Secret Service all kinds of fits together. And basically, yeah, I'm more or less calling bullshit. I did watch the video of her giving that testimony, and her body language to me even looked like she was struggling to remember the story. There's a certain thing with body movements there and how you read people. And because you believe it or not, your body and your eyes do different things when you are recalling something from memory. There's like your memories that of things like things you actually know, things that are there automatic, things you've actually done. But when you make something up or you get a story, something outside of your realm of experiences that you have to recall those details, your facial muscles, your eyes, and your body act differently because you're accessing a different portion of your brain. And I'm not going to try to get too much into the science.
Amdula oblongata.
Body language. And Gator was mad. But yeah.
It's because the Gator didn't have no teeth.
without
had all
too
those
much
teeth.
Into that, basically, she appeared to me to be full of shit. That's my scientific conclusion.
They testified also that now that they've seen people on the Hill with AR-15s. You know the big push against the AR-15s right now. Now all of a sudden there was people with AR-15s. Meanwhile, nobody's been arrested on any gun charges for the January 6th incident, I'll call it.
Right.
I hate calling it an insurrection because it wasn't an insurrection. An insurrection is what Susan Rosenberg did back in 1983 when she actually blew up the Capitol.
Yeah.
That's an insurrection.
When Pablo Escobar, when he attacked the Capitol building, and he had actually acquired some tanks and soldiers armed with actual military rifles and actually attacked the Capitol in an attempt to take – that's an insurrection, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, we've changed the definition of everything. A loud, out-of-control protest is now an insurrection. Bouncy castles are an insurrection.
Seriously.
You know.
I've seen a bigger insurrection at Walmart on Black Friday than I did on January 6th. I've actually seen people get hurt on Black Friday morning. As they call this January 6th an insurrection. And they're like, people lost their lives. You know, the only person that directly lost their lives directly because of that. What was her name again, Chris? Ashley Babbitt.
Ashley Babbitt.
Yeah. Ashley Babbitt was shot. She was murdered by the Capitol Police. She was standing against a wall. She wasn't being threatening at all. He shot her. Shot her and killed her dead. She was a veteran of our military. And it actually was about to be deployed again. And just shot and killed her. And you know what else is really sickening to me? The people that they have arrested and convicted of being an insurrectionist or inciting violence, they've been political prisoners in a D.C. gulag for 18 months now. And one of the mothers I watched an interview the other day said her son has had one haircut in that time. He's not allowed to cut his toenails or fingernails. If he wants to cut his toenails and fingernails, they told him, chew them off. They will not let him cut his toenails and fingernails. They feed him food that has human pubic hair in it. There are roaches and rodents running around. They live in the worst of worst conditions. And these people in Washington, D.C. have the balls to sit here and ask for your support when they're doing this to American people. It's sickening. I'm just pissed about it. And nobody says a damn word about it because we're a bunch of fucking cowards in this country.
Well, people say something about it. You just don't get to hear it because they get silenced. They get suppressed by big tech and by the media and the
Right. No, you're right. I know that too because I've been silenced numerous times on numerous big tech platforms and hell, even the news. Whenever they do an interview with me, they chop it up so bad that it makes me sound like I'm actually for what they were asking me about when that wasn't even the case. You know, they cut your interview up. It is fake news, and Trump wasn't lying about it. People just despise Trump because of what the news did. The news absolutely did everything. They threw everything they had at that guy, and it worked. I mean, it worked on me. I hated the guy for 2 years until I woke up. And then I looked at an interview, and then I looked at another news thing that was put out by somebody, an article, and I was like, well, he didn't say that. And then I started digging into it, and I'm like, he didn't say that either. But then I watched the original interview, and I'm like, oh, these son of a bitches. It was eye-opener for me. But, you know, if you guys are listening, you guys want to add into the conversation, you are more than welcome. The guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. Just make sure you press the number 1. That lets us know you want to talk and add to the conversation. Again, that phone number is 516-387-1733. And make sure to press the number 1. And let me thank Unplugged. I think he changed the name to Unplugged 7 now. It used to be Unplugged 2, but it's Unplugged 7 now because 7 has a better ring apparently. But Unplugged 7, Unplugged Radio, for giving this, giving us this platform to get on here and yell some foul words and make people dumber for just listening to us. That's what we do, and that's what we're good at. And we will continue to do that. anyway, so the January 6th stuff, if you're watching it on TV, don't take that shit for gospel. Just watch it, sure, absolutely, and then go back and find as many videos as you can find on that subject that are unedited, and you're going to see that the whole narrative changes when you watch the actual reality of it, the truth. It's quite frightening, actually. Secondly, here's the big story of the week that are making people absolutely lose their fucking minds. There was a huge march in Sioux Falls, South Dakota last night where some people were arrested for assaulting police officers and resisting arrest and unlawful gathering and all sorts of good stuff. But the reversal of Roe versus Wade, everybody has an opinion, and boy, they're coming out of the woodwork right now. This is a controversial subject, and the fact of the matter is they didn't ban abortion. They threw that right to the state, threw that right back to the states, said the states need to handle this. I agree with that decision that the states should handle it. The problem people are having is like, well, I live in a red state and I don't have enough money to go travel to get an abortion. And I keep on hearing everybody yelling, my body, my choice, and I should be able to decide if I want to have an abortion. You know, in certain circumstances, I happen to agree with that, but most circumstances I don't. Roe versus Wade was meant to give an inch to let women, that may die from giving birth or have medical complications or, there's certain issues that they originally made that decision. And once that inch was given, as time progressed, the left progressives really took that and ripped that inch and tried to stretch that into a mile, where now, present day, they thought it was okay to use that as a form of birth control. And that's never what it was intended for. And honestly, that's sick because I have unprotected sex with my girlfriend, and she's not on birth control, and she doesn't have her tubes tied or anything like that, and she happens to get pregnant. That is something that we both know before we go into any kind of sexual contact. Knowing that, hey, this could happen, and if this happens, abortion is not an option. And just so you know, so what do you do to prevent that? Well, of course, you use protection, and maybe the birth control pill. And women will argue, well, that sometimes it messes a woman's body up. Okay, understood. There are other methods of birth control, and those methods should be used. And if it hurts your body, then find a different method because the technology is spectacular with birth control. What I don't hear people saying is, the responsibility lies within each person, the man and the woman. When you meet up with somebody, let's just say you have a one-night stand. I was drunk at a bar and I met this hot guy or hot girl and I decided to sleep with them. Okay, well, that's your business. I'm not here to judge. That's between you and God. But the problem is, Did you have a discussion with that person before you laid down that, hey, I am not on birth control. You know, can you use protection? Or sometimes that protection breaks, you know, too. And have a backup plan for your backup plan. There is a thing called the morning after pill. By the way, I don't condone any of this. I'm not a kid, whatever. I'm just telling you what I know. The morning after pill is used to, for a woman. She takes that directly the morning after they had sexual relations and the man may have ejaculated in her and they're not sure. It's like, okay, he wore a condom, but the condom broke and he may have ejaculated inside me. So I got to make sure that I'm protected. So they take that morning after pill. The morning after pill was not meant to take 6 months later after you know you're pregnant. It's astonishing to me how ignorant people are. They think because, well, I was pregnant and I've been pregnant for 6 months and I don't think I want the baby. Too fucking bad, lady. You're 6 months along. You don't get to make that decision anymore. You had a decision to make at the beginning, at the conception of that baby. You had a decision to make, and you chose not to. You chose to procrastinate, and now there's a human life inside you that has been growing for 6 months. And there, believe me, there's babies that have been born in 6 months that have lived to live a fantastic life. So don't tell me that it's not a baby, that that's not murder when you try to rip them out of your womb. It's the biggest fucking cop-out I've ever heard, and it pisses me off, honestly. But grow up and have some fucking responsibility and accountability for your actions. Be an adult. That's what an adult is. If you have sexual relations, make sure you take precautionary measures that you don't get pregnant. And if one of those precautionary measures didn't work the way they were intended to, then there are other things that you can do to prevent making sure that you continue to be pregnant, let's put it that way, without using abortion as birth control. That it's sick. And honestly, it is murder. And I don't care how any which way you want to try to make it logical for yourself, it's not. It's not logical. When they want to perform abortions all the way up to term, and there were actually bills that were coming out now, Massachusetts and California, where you could perform an abortion on a baby that was already conceived, already the mother had already given birth 28 days after birth. They wanted to make it legal to have an abortion on a baby. That's not an abortion. Do you see what that means? They wanted to legally make it legal for you to kill your baby 28 days after it was born. If you cannot see the absolute evil in that, you need fucking help. Okay, Chris, what do you think?
Wow. Well, yeah, and you know, some of the arguments I've been hearing, and even a statement from a former Planned Parenthood facilities director, was that essentially the left brought this on themselves. That, you know, for 40 years, they determined, okay, at 24 weeks, the fetus, you know, is considered to be viable in most cases. And at that point, even though not born yet, is essentially its own being, its own body. And terminating that is, you know, basically murder. And so they kind of went with that 24 weeks was the guideline. And then, you know, just in recent years, and it went, what was the mantra? Safe, something about safe and rare, you know, and basically they pushed to, okay, well, we want to get into, you know, the third trimester abortions, you know. We want to get into abortions all the way up, you know, to the moment of birth, which, I mean, I'm sorry, you know, passing through the vaginal canal doesn't suddenly make you a living being. I mean, I'm sorry, at that point, that is a perfectly viable living being that is just waiting to cross a barrier, you know. So they went for that, and then even started getting more insane, like you said, to now, you know, well, now we want a 28-day, you know, money-back guarantee. You know, if I don't like this little living being after it's been born, I've got 28 days to decide whether or not to execute it. Okay, let's say we gave them that. What would it be next? You know they wouldn't stop there. Well, why 28 days? I mean, that's really not enough. Most women, a lot of women aren't even out of the hospital yet and haven't even begun to feel the financial burden and the physical burden of raising this child. You know, why not 90 days? Well, why not 6 months? You know, and, you know, that's the thing with the left. And you give them an inch, they take a mile. And all they do is they just keep pushing. And I've actually kind of got a theory that I don't think they're nearly as passionate about the things, the actual subject of their arguments, as much as they're extremely passionate about constantly coming up with some new radical idea that they want to force on people. And it's more about the struggle of forcing people to go along with anything and everything they demand than it is about any one particular issue they're demanding. And that's what kind of happened here. Like, for 40 years, Roe versus Wade was there. People lined up and picketed on both sides of that argument, but it was left alone. It was kind of understood that that was case law. It wasn't going to go away. Until you wanted to start murdering living, breathing babies, actually alive and well outside of the womb, and just say, yeah, you know what, we want to have the ability to kill them too. And then naturally you got a blowback. Like, you know, the people that are yelling at everybody and calling them Nazis all the time are sitting there advocating for actual murder of living, breathing babies. And naturally, they got blowback from that. Naturally, people pushed back. Naturally, that brought out that protective instinct in people. And they said, okay, you guys have just gone way too far. It's time that we start, you know, taking this back, you know, to kind of where it was before. But Mississippi wanted to take that further. They didn't want to go with the 24 weeks. They passed their law for 15 weeks, which naturally, as they knew, resulted in a court challenge, which put the Supreme Court in a position of having to decide whether or not abortion was something that fell under federal enumerated powers or not. And ultimately they decided that it's not. So, the left brought this on themselves.
Yeah, no, and you know, a man in Diane on our chat brought up a good point. You know, where the guy will, there's guys, I know guys that have done this. They got nine different kids with nine different women. They run around and they're whoring out. Now, okay, first of all, and Brian, I'll get to you in a second, friend. I see that you want to get on. I want to make this explanation, or I don't know if it's even an explanation, but the immigration issue and the abortion issue, two topics that are highly controversial. What are the answers to solve both of them? Those answers, there's an answer there, and there's a reasonable one. But our politicians aren't interested in finding that answer because they would rather have us fighting amongst each other and keep us divided. Now, in the case of what Amanda and Diane said about a guy that runs around and gets, you know, nine different women pregnant and, you know, here we are. Okay, first of all, yes, any guy that is running around getting women pregnant like that, the court system should be able to step in and say, all right, listen, dude, you can't pay child support for one child and you're out running around sticking your dick in everything that moves. I court order you a vasectomy. Is that viable? Is it possible? Is it legal? I don't know that answer. It's just my thought. Secondly, now those 9 different girls that are sleeping with this dude, you know, they also have a decision to make before they sleep with somebody too. If they're in a position where this guy wants to sleep with them, oh, I really like him and I don't want him to run away from me. They don't even realize that he ran away before he's even with you, number one. Number two, if he won't do or take precautions in order to protect you from maybe possibly getting you pregnant and you have no recourse as far as how do you prevent that, then you say no. You have that option and that right to say no to these guys. I mean, we can't put all the blame on all the women, and we cannot put all the blame on men. There's two people involved, and each person has a decision to make, and there's an answer there. You don't want to get pregnant. You demand he puts on a condom if you're not on birth control, and if that condom breaks, like I said, there's a morning after pill. If you can't afford the morning after pill, I would suggest abstinence. But trust me, there's been a million times in my life that, yeah, I'd really like to, you know, do something with that girl. Number one, I wasn't in a relationship with her. And I don't know. I didn't want to have a baby with her. I was already paying child support on 2 children. Now my kids are grown. My child support's been paid. Well, not really, because I still give them money all the time. So. But, you know, you get my gist. It's we have to start taking responsibility for our own actions. Somewhere along the line here, people have pointed the finger at somebody else. Well, it's their fault because they did this. Well, what did you do? Take responsibility and accountability for your own actions. Once you start doing that, this world will change, and I promise you that. It sucks, too. Whenever you have to admit that you fucked up, that you made a bad decision or you were wrong, it's the worst feeling in the world because nobody wants to be wrong. Nobody wants people to look at them and say, oh, yeah, look at that idiot, you know. But you know what? Once you do that a couple times and realize that that's called integrity, people will respect you a hell of a lot more knowing that you have integrity rather than, oh, yeah, that person just makes excuses for everything bad that happens to them. They don't take accountability. They don't take responsibility. So with that, I want to go to Brian. And Brian, I'm going to bring you on so you can share your thoughts and opinions on this. Brian, you're on the air. How are you doing tonight, brother?
Living the dream.
Sweet. What do you got to add?
Well, I wasn't really actually going to call in until you mentioned the Roe v. Wade, and it wasn't exactly to talk about that in and of itself, but both of them together, the previous comment about immigration and this. I can tell you exactly how to fix both of them. The problem is nobody wants to do it. Go back to what the Constitution says. The Roe v. Wade, I find it extremely funny that the side that keeps running around shouting and hollering about democracy, 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 all the court said was let the states decide what they're going to do. They didn't say a national ban. They didn't say a national, allow it one way or the other. They said let the individual state. How more? It dumbfounds me. The party of quote unquote democracy is literally running around with their hair on fire because we have more democracy. I mean, do they not understand the irony there?
Probably not. I'm just guessing.
But yeah, right. And the argument that, you know, some people are too poor and they can't go to another state and so on and so forth. Do you notice that argument doesn't work with guns, an actual constitutional right? It's like people in New York can't say, well, I can't afford, you know, the ridiculous draconian laws necessary in order to have a firearm without going to prison in this state. Therefore, I should be allowed to have it regardless of what the laws say. So it's kind of an odd thing that they want to apply that logic to one quote-unquote right that cannot be found in the Constitution, but they refuse to allow the same logic to be applied to an actual right that can be found in the Constitution.
Another point I want to bring up. Lee Schmidt just messaged me this too, but Tony was telling me this too. He commented he was watching a live on TikTok the other night where they were pissing and moaning about, you know, my body, my choice. Well, first of all, my body, my choice, they didn't give a shit about that when they were mandating vaccines for everybody. Then they were screaming, yes, you take it, save lives. and they were suddenly worried about lives then. So secondly, Tony commented under that live and said, you know, if I shoot a pregnant mom and she's pregnant, I get charged with the murder of that fetus also. I get charged double. It's a double murder. And I said, well, how did she respond? She said, fuck you, and she blocked me. That's their mentality. That's their logic. That's their defense. Fuck you. You're right, and you just proved me right, and now I'm going to block you because you're an asshole. That's what they do.
The whole argument, my body, my choice, when it comes to the women issue. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to be sexist when I say this. I'm married to a woman, so, you know, apparently I don't hate them too much. You notice the argument boils down to this. They want bodily autonomy, but not bodily accountability. And I find that really interesting, whereas they want men to be accountable without autonomy. So it dumbfounds me that they cannot put their logical argument straight. They keep wanting and shouting, my body, my choice. Well, that's fine, but if it's your choice, you have to deal with the consequences of it from top to bottom. It's not you get to pick and choose your consequences. So
right.
I
agree with you on that.
I think at this point in time, I mean, I was hearing what you were saying. But, I mean, I think at this point in time, you're seeing exactly what the left is from top to bottom. It is do what we say. We'll give you a little gold star if you obey us, and we might throw you a bone here and there. I mean, the entire immigration – I know you and I might disagree on this to some extent, but I'll tell you right now, the entire immigration problem can be laid directly at the left's feet. It is not a right-wing – and a left-wing kind of sort of, and I'm talking about traditional right-wing, left-wing, not what we call it today. You cannot have a welfare state and an open border. You can't do it. But if you shut the welfare state down, you don't have this massive issue with illegal immigration all of a sudden. We might actually end up having as much, if not more, immigration, but you're going to have people coming over here that are looking for a better life and trying to better themselves, like genuinely better themselves. They're not looking to work 6 months here and then move back to Mexico where, you know, they've just earned, you know, 3 or 4 years worth of working coming up here and then going back home. You're going to have people that are going to come over here for the betterment of themselves and their families and so on and so forth. So,
right.
I mean, like I said, go back to what the Constitution said from top to bottom and almost all of these issues go away.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. We have so many problems in this country, and the reason in my opinion, we have a lot of these problems is because we've allowed the politicians to divide us into two groups. You're either right, you're left. There is no middle. There's no line in the sand anymore. You're either left or you're right. There is no compromise. It's my way or the highway. And then one side is saying, "Well, wait a minute. Can't we just slow down a little bit? Put some restrictions up, sit at the table, and discuss this and come up with some kind of a compromise to allow some people to come in and adjust and to get them, you know, assimilated to our society." But they don't want to have that conversation. It's either, no, we're going to have open borders, or we're building a fucking wall across the whole thing, and we're not letting anybody in. And at this point, that's where we're at. There is no middle road there. It's either we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And it's honestly, it's sickening. Like, because I don't want to see people suffer anywhere, but we're okay spending, you know, sending billions and billions of dollars over to Ukraine for some fake ass war where they're having YouTube concerts and shit. I seen what Branson just went over there. What the hell is that famous actor's name? Is it Charles Branson or what the hell's his name? Not Charles.
You're talking about Ben Stiller?
No. Ben Stiller was there too. But who's the Branson guy? The actor. He's older. He's an older actor. Branson. I can't remember. Anyway, Branson just went over there, and they got all these famous people going over there. Canada's number one and number two went over there. Jill Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Mitch McConnell, the list goes on and on and on to this dangerous war zone. They're over there having concerts and having, you know, photo ops and, you know, shaking hands with Zelensky. And meanwhile, we have a border crisis here at home. Our gas and fuel prices are skyrocketing. Our food prices are skyrocketing. There's warnings coming out from the police departments that you have to have your head on a swivel if you have a large amount of groceries in your grocery cart, that people are now carjacking you as you're putting your groceries in your car, or they're following you home. And once you get out of your car, they're stealing your groceries. We have a problem in this country, and it's all boils down to what this clown in office has done to our economy right now. And I don't give a shit if you want – at this point, you try to defend the Biden administration, it just makes you look like part of the circus. Because, oh, it's Trump's fault. Dude, Trump hasn't been in office for almost two fucking years, and you guys still want to bring his name into it. It's Trump's fault. Get over it. Trump derangement syndrome is real. And their argument, they turn around, you guys are a part of cult. The only fucking cult I see is people that are cheering on the demise of this country and doing nothing about it while blaming a prior president. It's ridiculous. Oh, there's my rant again. Okay, you guys. Go ahead and share your thoughts on that.
I mean, there's a saying in politics, and it's kind of been true for a long time. Democrats fall in love, and Republicans fall in line. And if you think back to it, there hasn't been a single Democrat in my lifetime that has been president that a Democrat will say something bad about. I mean, it takes 20 or 30 years before they'll finally say, you know, he probably wasn't this good or that good. Republicans, on the other hand, while the president is sitting in office, they will badmouth the Republican president, but they'll still go vote. Trump was the first one in my lifetime, probably, that Republicans were really actually excited about to go, you know, excited to go vote for. And I find it funny that the Democrats are seeing a mirror in what they look like every single election cycle, and they don't like it. But, you know.
Well, and you know what that is, Brian. It's part of the establishment. That, you know, the Republicans are just as much as that establishment as the Democrat Party is. George W. Bush, George Bush Sr. You know, I don't think Ronald Reagan was a part of the establishment, but Bush's, absolutely. Obama's, Clinton's, Biden's. It's all one big club, like George Carlin said, one big club, and you're not in it. I truly and honestly believe that. The Cheneys, I mean, it runs deep. They're all a part of this big, huge cabal.
Well, talking about the trial or hearing or whatever you want to call it, you know, the witch hunt, I think, is a more apt name for it right now. Liz Cheney is sitting there trying to pile on, you know, you heard about the, you know, Trump attacking a Secret Service agent that he had no way of getting to. It just goes to further prove. I mean, Liz Cheney, you know,
yep.
I thought she was a Republican. Now, I don't want to see us defend our side because it's our side. That's BS. But on the other side of the coin, you know, everybody kind of deserves at the very minimum the benefit of the doubt until it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. And we don't get that with a lot of these. If you go against what the establishment says, you're done. And I mean, we see it with Trump. I'm kind of like you guys. I'm not a Trump supporter. I didn't like him. I didn't vote for him the first time. I did vote for him for the second time, but I got so sick and tired of, you know, halfway through his administration, I kept having to tell people, would you stop attacking him? You are making me defend this guy. I don't like him, you know? So,
right.
I don't know that we have a real positive way to move forward. And keep in mind, I'm a pessimist, a stoic, or whatever you want to call it. But I don't know.
We're not Republican or Democrat anymore. Trump did something to this country, and not a bad thing. Trump has made a lot of this country realize that we are America first. There's an America first party now. And we firmly believe in making sure that this country is prosperous, that everybody is doing well. And once we have a majority of our problems fixed in this country, and there's other people that, you know, we've got a surplus of $20 billion. This country has, you know, some really big problems right now. You look at Sri Lanka right now. They're throwing their fucking politicians' cars into the rivers and the oceans or whatever. They're a major uprising. Look at Canada. Trudeau, the guy's he's a tyrant from the word go. I mean, they just arrested Tamara Dalish again on a probation violation because she accepted a Freedom Award and went to and did a speech at a presentation at the Freedom, whatever the hell caucus thing it is in Canada. They arrest her and put her in jail. Is it a coincidence that they did that right before Canada Day? That happens to tomorrow. So Canada Day happens tomorrow. I get a text message from my friend that lives in Canada, who's right outside of Ottawa, and she's telling me, hey, guess what? They just brought in the military. Why do you need to bring in the military for a celebration of Canada Day? I don't know. This isn't just isolated here in the United States. The problem that we're seeing with a lot of issues is worldwide. And, again, we've talked about this. It all leads back to the World Economic Forum. It all leads back to the World Health Organization. All of this, George Soros, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, you know exactly who's following orders in the world as we speak. Klaus Schwab just came out the other day and said, President Joe Biden is working very, very, very hard in the United States. Well, now you know who's compromised here. But people are too stupid and too lazy to research. And there's my opinion on it.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and that's not the unfortunate part, I suppose you could say. I used to laugh at the guys that, I mean, no offense when I say it this way, that would, you know, jump up and down and start hollering about the Bilderberg group and this group and that group. It's okay, guys, really. But kind of at this stage in the game, you got to stop calling it a conspiracy theory. You got to start calling them spoiler alerts. I mean, it's kind of scary when you sit here and you start looking at all that stuff. But I don't know. I'm just a stupid truck driver, you know.
Hey, me and Chris are right on your level, brother. We I just happen to be interested in researching a different things, but I try to warn people and let them know what I research and where to find it, because it's important that they read it with their own two eyes and you know, tear it apart for themselves and ask questions for themselves, which leads them to research different other things that maybe I haven't even researched yet. When they do that, and then they come back and say, see, I've seen all this stuff, and then I researched this. Did you know about this? And I'll be like, no, I didn't. And I'll go research, and I'm like, holy shit. You know, it's never ending. That's how big this is. It's crazy. I don't know, Chris. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I got to disagree with you on one aspect. There definitely
no. Nope, you're not allowed to.
Yeah, there definitely was a cult following with Trump, and I would commonly refer to them as Cult 45. And you know the people I'm talking about. Their house or their garage or their patio or some portion of their being was essentially a shrine for Donald Trump. And they just, I mean, they acted like, you know, they worshiped the ground he walked on. They just absolutely just devoured every word that came out of his mouth. Those people were pretty annoying to deal with. But on the left, you have that same cult going on of this leftist Marxist ideology and people that essentially, you know, I called him Lord Fauci, you know, or Lord Flip Flop, you know, they would just, whatever he said, didn't matter that he was constantly flip-flopping back and forth from one day or one week to another on what he said the previous day or the previous week, just whatever he said, you know, that was like the word of God. Questioning Fauci, you know, was like blasphemy in their eyes. But same time, over there on the Colt 45 side, questioning Donald Trump or criticizing him in any way for something he said or did, you know, was that thing. You felt like you were sitting in a church house and everyone's pointing their finger at you yelling, blasphemer, you know. But that's part of this whole tribalism that we have devolved into, which, and we talked about this last week, it pushes people from being reasonable, because most people are actually moderate. They're either moderate left, moderate right, or centrist. And most people are kind of centered on that balance of the scale between authoritarianism versus anarchism, you know, where, yeah, we understand that, you know, there's a need for rule of law, so we're not anarchists, but we don't want a totalitarian government either. But most people are right there in that little sphere that falls right in the middle of the graph. But the divisive tactics that they've been using on us has been pushing both sides further into their corners away from each other. So everyone's retreating. No one's willing to compromise. No one's talking about compromising. No one is making any attempt at saying, okay, how can we just all kind of compromise to live and let live on these issues? Everyone is beating the division drum and sending both sides in, you know, to either the far left or the far right, and at the same time drumming up support for an authoritarian stance for whichever side you're on. And what everybody's overlooking is the fact that both sides are being driven right now to accept authoritarian stances. And once they get everybody to accept authoritarianism, whichever side wins the struggle, well, once they got the majority of the population going along with it and they got the power that they need, they no longer care about either side and their issues. They've got the authority they want. They've got totalitarian control, and they're going to run with it. And that's a sad thing. So we've got to find some way to get people to move back into a more central political ideology where we can find ways to agree to disagree, where we can find ways to address issues that's at least somewhat satisfactory to both sides. And, of course, nobody's doing that because, well, I feel like there's an agenda. There's an end goal there. They need to divide us. And, of course, you know, as the saying goes, if we're the ones being divided, who do you think they intend to conquer? That's pretty much it.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're right, man. I completely agree with you. Just to let everybody know, so Kim has joined us now, and she's learning the new features on the switchboard. She's used it, and I'm glad that we could facilitate that. She's also the producer, or whatever you want to call it, for the Patriots United radio show that's on Monday nights. Now, those guys are on Monday nights at the same time we are, 7 p.m. Central Time. So Monday nights, if you enjoy listening to us, run over there on Monday nights if you have time and listen to those guys at Patriots United at 7 p.m. Central Time. That's Chad. He's from Canada. And Michael, he's from Texas. We're all connected through TikTok, and I probably won't be connected through there any much longer. I'm about to get banned, but you know, we're all part of the same radio network here, Unplugged Radio. It just adds more diversity, and we talk, you know, about the same things, but yet different. Those guys, they have an in with Canada with Chad, and Kim is also from Canada, so I'm able to have another connection with my Canadian friends and find out exactly what's going on in Canada with Trudeau, what they're pushing. You know, it keeps me up to date and gives me news that a lot of you would not hear normally. So we will dedicate some of our broadcast to what is happening in Canada, because I think it's important that people know what's going on worldwide, similar to what happened in Australia. You know, they locked those poor people down in their homes, and they weren't allowed to do anything. And now I hear Australians, you know, bitching about Americans or bitching about Canadians. I'm like, you guys literally didn't stand up for shit. You let them lock you down in your homes. I would have been out in the streets. Arrest me if you want to. You're not locking me up in my home. That's not going to happen. I don't care if there's a swarm of killer bees outside. I'll take my chances. But yeah,
murder hornets.
So, yeah, murder hornets. Yeah, that's going to be the next thing that the left comes up with, some kind of fucking, I don't know.
You know what? Maybe it's going to be the murder hornets that are able to traverse all the different, you know, regions and climates in our country to spread monkeypox from the East Coast. I don't know. Maybe that's how it's going to
be. Well, they're already coming out with the propaganda already. They're fear-mongering that leading scientists are saying that we should go back to wearing masks. And the funny thing, it's not even funny, why is nobody talking about the Pfizer document releases where they actually have pages and pages upon pages of side effects? Nobody's talking about it. The mainstream media, they completely jumped over it, obviously, and for obvious reasons, because it doesn't fit their narrative. But now they're still pushing more vaccination. Now, they're talking fall. They're going to go back to mandatory vaccinations and over my dead body. Yeah, I will not get your shot, and I will not be forced to get your shot. You come to my place, I'm leaving in a body bag because I'm not leaving here with a shot. Don't come into my place. I did not invite you in, and you're not coming in. That's how firmly I am against it. There's people that are experiencing heart issues. Look at the young athletes dying. It's all over the news. So-and-so just dropped dead at the age of 25. So-and-so just dropped dead at the age of 28. What do they all have in common? Well, I'll give you one guess. Justin Bieber, he's one whole side of his face has got paralysis. His wife, I believe she had a heart attack and a stroke. You realize this is all happening to the people that are on the left, you know, the people that you idolize on the left, the ones that told you to go get the vaccine, so they went and got the vaccine to show you that it's safe and effective, and now they're all experiencing major side effects, but not one of them are standing up and saying, hey, you probably want to rethink your decision. They're not coordinating or, you know, putting the two things together. They're just saying, oh, yeah, well, shit happens, that's life. Why so many young people? Why? There's no coincidences. How many athletes that died in 40 years on record? I think the number was 1,200 in 40 years of heart attacks, cardiac arrest, whatever you want to call it. In 2001 alone, or was it 2000 to 2000? Or I'm sorry, 2021 to 2022. There were 976 that died of cardiac arrests. Almost the same amount of people, young athletes, died in a one-year period or a year and a half or two-year period than 40 years prior to that in a study that I see. And you're still not believing what we're trying to tell you? I don't get it. I don't get it. But, Brian, what else do you got to add to the conversation, my friend?
Honestly, not much. I just I really wanted to make that comment about the Democrat Party, you know, the party of democracy, is whining and pitching a fit because we have more democracy now. I find it ironic as well.
Brian. Hey, I always appreciate the call. Thanks again for calling, and we appreciate your support, and you take it easy out there, brother.
Yeah, not likely, but I'll at least pretend.
All right, man. Catch you later. All right, everybody, that was Brian, and he's a regular listener to our program. I met him down in Hagerstown. He's good friends with Chris, and I'll call him my friend, too. He's a pretty cool dude, and we hung out for a little bit. We got a chance to meet. So, yeah, that's, you know, I think we covered what we wanted to cover tonight, Chris, and I think it's important that people just, especially with these, like these vaccines and stuff, especially with them coming out and talking about how they're going to force mandate it again. They're talking about a fourth and a fifth shot. A Pfizer or a Moderna, I can't remember which executive said out, come out and said that they were asked, will there be an annual shot that will have to be had? And he said, more than likely, yes. You can't compare this to the flu shot. You just can't. And the reason I say that is because there's people that get the flu shot every single year religiously, and they get the flu, and some of them get it very severely. I've never had the flu shot, and I haven't been sick for 10 years. Knock on wood, God willing, but I haven't had the vaccine for the coronavirus either, and I haven't gotten that either. God, knock on wood again. But there are viable treatments, and they will not tell you about those viable treatments, and you're being lied to. I don't care what anybody says, you're being lied to. I've seen enough, and I'm not going to argue about it anymore. I'm not going to fight with you over it anymore. You can either heed my warnings and go do your own research, and find the things that I've found, and listen to the people that I've listened to. Dr. Robert Malone's a good one to listen to. He's been discredited by the media. Oh, exactly. Anytime somebody says the media, I know that there's no hope for you. You still watch that
shit.
You
know, thank God, you know, we have those people out there with journalism degrees to set us straight on whose medical opinion is valid enough. I mean, I certainly would rather listen to, you know, someone who majored in journalism at a liberal arts college rather than someone who actually was involved in the development of mRNA technology, you know, or was the chief scientist for therapeutics and vaccines for respiratory illnesses for Pfizer, you know, Michael Yeadon, you know.
Michael Yeadon, Pierre
like
Corey.
Yeah,
Pierre Corey.
Every one of these guys, who are more than qualified and were seemingly perfectly sane all the way up until 2021, when as soon as they spoke out against vaccines, these mRNA vaccines, whatever you want to call them, all of a sudden they were discredited and they lost their minds. Funny how that works.
Yeah. We were just talking about that. You know, anytime somebody comes out against what the left's narrative is, they're immediately discredited. Their lives, they're attacked. Everything, they come at you full force to make sure that your message does not get out there, and people still are not awake to why is that? Why would they do that? Oh, they're trying to protect me. From what? A differing opinion? Because if you don't believe them, you certainly have the option to say, well, you know what, that guy's, he's nuts, and I don't believe him, and I'm not going to listen to him. But they don't give you that option. They forcefully discredit that person and ruin that person and silence that person. That's what they do. You know what that's saying to you, folks? It's telling you that they think you're too stupid to make a decision for yourself to whether or not to listen to that or not. That's what they're telling you. They're scared that you might actually listen to them and you might actually believe the truth that's coming out of their mouth, and it will shatter the narrative. But rather than take that chance, they'll ruin a person. They'll silence a person. They've silenced me numerous times. And listen, I'm nobody special. I'm just a guy that pays attention to a lot of stuff and happened to be on a Zoom call with Dr. Robert Malone. And I listened to Dr. Robert Malone's testimony. I've listened to a lot of his interviews. I happen to believe him. Dr. Michael Yeadon, I believe him. Why? Because they're professionals. They weren't discredited up until they started going against what the official narrative was with this COVID-19. And therefore, that gave me all the more reason to really listen to them and all the more reason to even believe them more. And after I listened and believe everything they say makes sense to me, everything, the puzzle pieces fit, whereas the narrative, the left, the media, the shit that they're pushing, I got too many questions. There's too many things that the puzzle doesn't fit. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. So anyway, we got the big 4th of July weekend coming up. Tomorrow, Canada Day is supposed to be their celebration in Ottawa. Chris Barber and numerous other people that are have voices in Canada have come out and said that they want people to bring flowers to Parliament in Canada, in Ottawa, and they want them to hand those flowers out to police officers and show
Those are tools of terrorism, you know.
Well, he said he wants to show he wants to show that we come in peace and we come in understanding and we come as your fellow Canadians and we come with love. And, you know, we had this discussion. What's that?
I got 10 bucks that says the Canadian media is somehow going to end up making the flowers a symbol of white supremacy.
Oh, I'm sure they will. There's no doubt in my mind. That's what our American media would do too. But what they're trying to do is handle this in peace, because they know if with the arrest of Tamara Leash and Canada Day being there and all those people gathered, that they're trying to push them into some kind of a violent act where Trudeau's government can issue martial law, the equivalent of martial law, basically initiate the Emergency Powers Act. And once that happens, their final phase of taking Canada completely over is complete. Then you'll see things fall very fastly in Canada. And our Canadian friends up there that are protesting peacefully, they know exactly what's going on. And I would, if you're listening from Canada, I would strongly suggest that you listen to what they're trying to tell you and go to Ottawa, to the Parliament, in peace, love, and understanding, and stand there together with your fellow Canadian brothers and sisters and peacefully celebrate your Canada Day. And I hope and I pray that they don't initiate things by the use of military force for no reason, which I have a bad feeling that that's what they're planning on doing. But whatever you do, please don't react with violence. Let them show their hands. And once they show their hands, not only will Canada see, but the world's going to see what kind of a tyrant runs that country right now. And maybe then his days will be numbered. Maybe. Let's hope. Let's hope that violence is not the solution to your problem. So, and, you know, with that, then you come down to July 4th here in America, which that's our Independence Day. That's supposed to be the day of celebration. We have major Democratic cities across the country that are not celebrating this year for the third straight year in a row. The first 2 years, they used COVID as an excuse. This year, they're using supply chain issue shortages, which is a bunch of bullshit. I'm waiting now for one of them to cancel their July 4th celebration and say it's Putin's fault. I mean, that's how ridiculous this has become. And yet some of you people just still buy into that mainstream media fucking propaganda. At what point in time are you going to be like, why do they blame Putin on everything? It can't be all his fault. Oh, but trust me, it's not over yet. So that's what's happening. And, you know what? I really don't have much else I've got, Chris, unless you got something else to say. We can we'll do an hour and a half show tonight, which is fine. Sometimes we'll do 3-hour shows, sometimes we'll do 2-hour shows, and sometimes we'll do an hour and a half show.
No, I really don't have too much to add. Canada Day, the media, you know, a lot of times it seems like the media is telegraphing what the events are going to be, what's going to happen in the future, right? So it's almost like, because I haven't heard, and you and I are both plugged into a lot of these groups in Canada. We have, you know, Canadian freedom fighters, I guess you could say, that we talk to. And I never heard any chatter about any big plans for any kind of massive protest, resistance, whatever, going on. But all of a sudden, you know, it's like the media is signaling that there's going to be this big, huge problem in Canada. You know, and you have, I can't remember. Oh, I don't remember the guy's name. One of the provincial ministers was on there talking about, you know, we're not going to put up with any illegal activity and any protesters committing criminal acts, you know, are going to be dealt with. And I'm sitting here like, well, where's this coming from? Because I'm not aware of any plans. Granted, you know, I'm not in the loop. I feel like the government is definitely planning to pick a fight there. And I'll just say, you know what? I think this weekend is going to be interesting. I imagine in lieu of fireworks shows in a lot of the blue cities, we're going to see, you know, fireworks of a different kind with Roe v. Wade protesters. And I don't know, man. I just I feel like there is a shit show that is brewing. And I don't know if they're ready to pull the trigger yet. I don't know if they're going to show their full hand. I know you're afraid the military is going to move in and up there in Canada and really escalate things. I don't think they're quite there yet. I think they have just really dug their heels in on kind of a antagonist phase of just really, really pushing the freedom-loving people to their just, you know, mental and physical breaking point of what they'll put up with. But I don't think it's quite there yet. I don't think we're going to see Canada erupt into full-scale civil war quite yet. So I don't know if that's more of a I don't know if that's more of a wish of mine that it doesn't go like that. I do feel like a lot of things are getting exposed. A lot of people are starting to catch on to what's happening. Certainly, a lot more people are on board with the fact that there's obviously a global puppet show happening. There's a lot more people on board with that idea now than there was, you know, 2 years ago when this whole circus started. I think they're losing some power and they're losing some influence. I know, you know, confidence in media sources is at an all-time historic low. And that's obviously, I mean, let's face it, who were most of the viewers that watched CNN? Mostly left-leaning people. You know, CNN lost its right-wing audience a long time ago. So when CNN's numbers plummet that far, those are Democrats. Those are, you know, liberals, classic liberals who have stopped watching CNN and no longer have confidence that CNN is telling the truth. That means it's the people on the left that are even starting to wake up to what's happening right now and see through it. So there's still some hope on the horizon here that maybe this whatever plan they have in place maybe just might get foiled because they lose the support of the people that were going to back them up, because they got to have people in their corner. And the people in their corner, that's becoming a smaller and smaller crowd, I think, by the day and by the week. So there's hope.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, I hope you all have a safe, happy safe and happy 4th of July weekend, and I truly mean that. Please celebrate Independence Day to the fullest extent, because it means something. And to end this show, I want to make a final little thing I'm going to do here, okay? And this is a message to the Joe Biden administration. To the 13 troops that you left behind in Afghanistan while you spent billions of dollars in the Ukraine on your false narratives, in honor of those 13 troops and their families, Joe Biden, say their names. Fucking names, Joe Biden.